Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Now listen, friend, if He isn't yours, He needs to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man, the Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, if you're in that category, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, I plead with you to use a Bible word. I beseech you to get right with God today. Listen, friend, Jesus is coming soon. We're running out of time. Look at the world that we live in. Look what's going on, friend, in every arena around us, from the home, the church, the political arena, the schools that our kids go to, just the situation in geopolitics, in the idea and the vision of globalism, all the things, friend, all the things, listen, that are going on around us point to the certain, soon return of Jesus Christ. I've opened my Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord willing, I'm going to share a message with you from this. And I don't do this very many times, but I do it on occasion. I'm even going to give you my text before Deb sings her song. I'm going to talk to you out of the book of Matthew, out of the book of Luke chapter 17, pick up a few things over in 2 Thessalonians 2, maybe a couple in Revelation 3, something there in the book of Jude, maybe second Timothy 2, 2 Peter 3 or 2 and 3. But I want to talk to you about this thought just before Jesus comes. Now listen, He's coming. And Debbie's going to tell you what to do. Debbie's going to tell you to get ready, friend, to get ready, because Jesus is coming again soon. So look, if you aren't ready, go to God and say, look, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me for Christ's sake. You know what God will do? God will do that very thing. Enjoy the song. When Deb gets done, I'll be back with a message. We'll enjoy.
Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for trumpet when He calls us away. I have heard the story about Jesus and His love, how He died on Calvary so that we could have a home above. I do not understand it, yet I do.
Okay.
thank God it's one of my favorite. Listen, friend, what I'm preaching about today is one of my favorite subjects. Oh, I love thinking about, studying about, considering about, looking at, listen, the fact that Jesus is coming again. You say, why, preacher? Because He is. Over the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, John got it, did he not? In chapter 22, three times in verse 7 and verse 12, and what's the last verse he did it in was verse 20. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Now look, I could explain that a little bit more, but just let me just mention it to you. When John heard it the third time, he said, you know what John did? John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. And that's what I'm praying. Now look, I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want you to be lost, sir. I don't want you to be lost, ma'am. That's why I'm investing this time, this effort, this money to reach out and to tell people like you that Jesus saves, that He came into the world the first time to seek and to save that which is lost. And when He comes the next time, He won't come as a lamb slain and crucified, buried, and resurrected. He won't come, friend, bless God, as a little lamb, but He'll come as a Lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll come to rule and reign. He'll come to judge, bless God, all of those that have said no to the advances of the Holy Spirit of God on their heart and their spirit, the Word of God that provokes them and pricks them and just simply pointedly tells them that they need Jesus as their Savior. Well, listen to what Matthew wrote in chapter 22 about what Jesus said when He, with some of His apostles, were sitting on the Mount Olivet. And I've had the privilege of doing that a time or two. And what a joy it is. They were looking across the Kedron Valley, looking into the old city Jerusalem, looking at the temple of that day, the Herod's temple, they call it. The second temple, and they were talking about it. And look, Jesus said, I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when not one stone will be left upon the other. And the apostles, if you look in the beginning of chapter 24, Matthew, I'm just kind of giving you reference to it. They looked at Him. Three of them, they asked three questions to Him. When shall these things be? Number one, now look, that's answered in the book of Luke chapter 17. What shall be the signs of Thy coming is the second question, of the end of the world. That's the third question. And those questions are answered in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and also Mark 13. And I'm going to talk to you a little while after I read a couple of verses here in Matthew 24. He said, now learn a parable, the fig tree. And look, friend, listen, Israel's compared to as a fig tree. Not only a fig tree, but also an olive tree and also a vine. And it refers to them naturally, spiritually, and I can't think of the other one exactly right now what it is, but listen to what the Word of God says now. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, meaning in like manner, he said, when you shall see all these things, know that it is nigh, even at the door. You say, what, preacher? Well, we're going to get to that. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now let me say something about the word generation really quickly. And I'm talking to you, friend, about just before Jesus comes. The word generation at least has two different definitions. It speaks of an ethnicity. It speaks of a population. It speaks of a group of people, actually. And I believe he's talking about the Jews in an undeniable way there. But it also talks about a span of time. A span of time, that is, a generation can be anywhere from 70 years to 100 years. And look, friend, look, there's some things that are amazing going on. I believe, listen, hallelujah, I believe Jesus is coming and that He's coming soon. He said, look, now He goes on to say, so likewise shall it be also. He said, so likewise ye, when you should see all these things, know that it is nigh, even at the door. He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now watch this. But of that day and of that hour, no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then in the beginning of verse 37, he says, but. Now look, these words, this passage, this chapter that Jesus spoke. It's known as the Olivet Discourse, that deals with end time prophetic words about the second coming of Christ. And listen, don't doubt He's coming again. 260 chapters in the New Testament with 318 references of Jesus' second coming. You know what I believe? Bless God, I believe He's coming again. In John 14:3, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you in verse 2, and if I go and prepare a place for you in verse 3, I will come again. Thank God I'm looking for Him. I'm ready for Him. I'm longing for Him. But I'm sad because you're not ready, because you're not as I am. Oh, today, sinner friend, listen, Jesus could come. He could come right now. He could come and snatch His chosen away. Those blood-washed, redeemed, Spirit-filled, and sealed believers in the finished work that He did at Calvary. And I'm telling you, friend, if you aren't ready, you need to get ready. You say, why? Well, there's some reasons why. There's going to be some things that happen just before Jesus comes. And I want you to know we're living in a generation that they are happening. Oh, glory to God. I'm so excited about this. I can't tell you everything that I think I see and understand. I'm probably not going to tell some of you that have heard me preach before many things, if anything, that's new. But I'll tell you what, friend. I listened, Peter said before he went off the stage of action. He said, I want to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. So I make no apologies for what I'm going to say, though I've said it time and a time before. Look, Jesus said, but. Now watch this. But, hey, can I tell you, we that are saved, we're not of the night, we're of the day. Paul told the church of Thessalonica that. Paul, look, we cannot know the day and the hour. I understand that. That's what I read in your hearing. That's what Jesus said to Peter, James, and John as they were sitting there overlooking the temple and having their conversation. But look, Paul told the Thessalonians, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord, excuse me, cometh as a thief in the night. Now look, let me say something. In Matthew 24, listen, what Jesus said, it's very Jewish. The apostles represent the church. I understand that. They're the pillar and the grounds of truth. And I know that they're the beginning of the church. But can I tell you something? This is so Jewish. I mean to tell you, this points to the day of Jesus' revelation. And the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the church, happened 7 years before the revelation. So here's what I'm proposing for you to consider. If the things I'm going to talk about happen, are at least manifest in the day that Jesus comes in His revelation. Hey, and we're seeing all of these things. We're seeing more things that I've got time to tell you about today. Hey, how soon must His coming be? Oh, friend, listen, I'm telling you, this is a message of warning. It's a message of stirring. It's a message of hope that you'll get ready, that you'll not be left behind. And Jesus said, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but my Father which is in heaven. But He said, but. Now let me tell you a couple of things Jesus was saying. There's some indicators. There's some things that are going to happen just before I do. One of them we just read in the parable of the fig tree, 19:48, May 14th, 1948. The nation of Israel hoisted their flag up a flagpole, declared themselves a sovereign, independent nation, something they had not been since 70 A.D. in the diaspora, when God in His wisdom knew how to preserve His people. I thank God that people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, His chosen, His Old Testament elect, you know what He did? He dispersed them into the nations. And all Ezekiel had been called to a valley of dry bones in chapter 37. And God said, now listen, I want to ask you a question. You see all these bones. They've been buried in the nation. He said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest. God said, yeah, I do. They're going to live. Thank God. He said, you begin to prophesy to them. And oh, Ezekiel did. And I'm not reading there. Turn and read it. You can get it all just like it's written. My, the Spirit of God fell on them. I want you to know the bone come together with bone. And then Ezekiel began or continued to obey the Lord. Let the sinews come upon their flesh, and the Bible said that they stood a great and exceeding mighty army. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we're seeing the prophecy of God fulfilled in our day. May 14, 1948, thank God, listen, those bones came together. Maybe it was in the week of July or June the 5th through the 10th, in the time of the Six-Day War, when they recapture the nation. The nation of Israel's capital, which is Jerusalem. And by the way, I thank God for President Trump, who at the making of this program is currently our president, and who just recently, a short time ago, I bless God, publicly, willingly, boldly, thank God for him, declared a recognition of the city of Jerusalem as the capital of the nation of Israel. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, friend, listen, there are things that are happening that point to the second coming of Christ. And can I tell you, unless there was a nation of Israel, sovereign and independent, unless Jerusalem had been claimed as the capital of that great nation once again, these things couldn't happen. But they have, and much more. But Jesus goes on to say, but, and I'm turning to the book of Luke chapter 6 or 17 and listen to what he said, but in verse 26 and following, as it was in the days of Noah. Now look, he goes on to say just in a verse or two later, as it was in the days of Lot. Now Noah day and Lot days are going to picture many things that are going to parallel the day how that Jesus comes again. In Lot days, there are some things peculiar to his day. In Noah day, there are some things that are peculiar to his day. But let me start first with these two thoughts, the things that are like in their day. The Bible said they'll eat, drink, they'll marry wives, they'll be given in marriage until the day. In Lot's day, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it. But the same day, can I tell you what that connotes? Listen, friend, that connotes what's going on in our world. It refers to a people that are only, listen now, concerned about the here and the now, satisfying their lusts, their desires, getting all that they can get. I mean, right now, look, now here's the key, without any concern for the future, without any thought towards eternal things. Now look, you say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the Word of God tells us over in the book of Matthew that they knew not. They knew not. It was a generation. Oh, isn't that amazing? And they knew not until the flood came that they should have known. They should have known. I mean, they had Noah, a preacher of righteousness, building a boat. Bless God. I'll refer to it as in a desert. There was no lakes around. There was no big river or body of water. And it had never rained, and he was saying, judgment's coming. God's going to send a flood. This boat's going to float. The water's going to come down called rain, and you need to get ready. Do you know what? They could have known. They should have known. And I believe Peter tells us something about the generation that'll be around when Jesus comes in the revelation, that they, listen, will be willfully ignorant of the things that are going on. People can know if they want to know. They just choose not to know. So in Noah day, one of the big marks is that they knew not. They were willingly ignorant, if you will. Hey, look, if you go over there in the book of Genesis chapter 6, look at verses 11 and 13, you'll find the word violence. There then violence covered or filled the land. You know what that word violence is? It is Hamas in the Greek. In the Hebrew, excuse me, H-A-M-A-S. Hamas. We hear about Hamas all the time on world news, do we not? Listen, that's a terrorist group. And God said, look, as it was in the days of Noah, when there were terrorism throughout the earth, it's going to be like that in the days of the Son of Man cometh. But look, he goes on to say, it's going to be a lot like days two. Now let's face it, folks, whether we want to agree with it or not, the Word of God is true. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Look, one of the big things that marks Lot Day is homosexuality. Now listen clearly what I'm going to say. That wasn't the only sin down in Sodom and Gomorrah. That was not the only sin that those folks that were apostate and falling away from God were a part of. But listen to what the Word of God says in Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal God. Listen, friend, whether you like it or not, it's a chosen lifestyle. It's a perverted lifestyle. It's unnatural. Bless God, that's what the Word of God says. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm not homophobic. I'm a biblicist, friend. I'm a preacher of the Word of God, something that's been proclaimed for over 2,000 years. I've not changed anything, but I'm trying to warn people, to help people, and to let them know that they'll stand before a holy God, give an account of the deeds done in the body. But let's go on. There's something else that marks Lot days. It was Lot himself. Bless God, he pictures the church, I believe, in the last days. Oh, if I didn't have Peter writing in the New Testament, when I'm the writing about Lot in the Old Testament became silent, I wouldn't think that Lot was all right. But Peter called him just. He referred to him as a righteous man. Now look, something happened to Lot down there. He should have never looked toward Sodom. He should have never pitched his tent toward Sodom. He should have not stayed in Sodom after he got down there and found out what was popular in Sodom. He said, I hightailed it back to an altar, like Abraham did after he came out of Egypt. Hightailed it back to Uncle Abraham, and bless God, continued their search for that city, which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He should have done that, but he stayed. And it cost him, do you hear me? It cost him his testimony. Because the night the angels came before the day of judgment, they were living in a city of destruction, and so are we today. And this place is going to pass away with a fervent fire. Bless God, it's going to melt with fervent heat, the Word of God teaches us. But the angel said, now listen, Lot, if you got anybody else in this place, you go warn him, you go get him. And the Bible said how that Lot went to his sons-in-law. So he had more than two daughters out of the house. He had at least two daughters in the house and at least two daughters out. He could have had more. And you know what the Bible says in Genesis 19 about Lot's testimony to his sons-in-laws? They mocked him. Hey, listen, they mocked him, friend. He had lost his power. He had lost his testimony. And I'm afraid this Laodicean church has lost its testimony. Oh, I know there are mega churches left and right. I'm not against big numbers. Bless God. I want everybody to go to heaven that will. But I'll tell you what, listen, friend. You ought to make sure you go to a church where Jesus Christ is on the inside, where He's in the center of that place, not standing on the outside of the door, knocking to get in. Oh, listen, friend. Listen. He said that in the last days there'd be a Laodicean church age. a church that would look like the church of the Laodiceans, a church ruled by the people, or a church of the people's rule. I'm telling you, we're in that age. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. He said that there would be an apostasy. Matter of fact, Paul in the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3 calls it the apostasy. That will happen right before the second coming of Christ. We're living in that apostasy where men, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, would turn their ears from the truth, would be turned unto fables, who would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, listen, friend, he's coming. Are you ready? Oh, get ready. We may not know the day and the hour. We can know the season. And boy, I'll tell you, if I know anything about the Word of God, we're in that season just before Jesus comes. There's going to be these things and many more that happen. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at that. Go on into chapter 4. Read 2 Peter. Read the book of Jude. Oh, friend, listen, I've queued up the wrong song. Man, I've queued up another song, and we need to be exiting. So, here's what we got to do. I got to start over. But listen, friend, gives me another opportunity to warn you. Gives me another opportunity to tell you, listen, don't be too late. Jesus is going to be on time, ready or not. He's coming, and these are the things that will precede it.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Hey folks, I've absolutely messed this up today. I've never done this, and I'm not going to edit it. It's going to give me just enough time, though, to talk to you. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. I want you to get ready. You say, preacher, how in the world do I get ready? Well, you get ready by realizing that you're a sinner, and then by faith receiving Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple stuff, is it not? The Bible says, he that cometh to me, these are the words of Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, this was a mistake on my part. All the years that I've done this, I have never done what I've done today, hit the wrong button two times, ending a program. And you know what? I believe God wanted me to talk to you just a little bit longer. I believe that He wanted me to tell you, friend, listen, that you could be saved, sir. You could be saved, man. Listen, He's coming again. He's coming again. There's no doubt about it. Morning, night, or noon. We don't know when. But I'll tell you what. He's coming again. Surrender to Him. Submit to Him. Call upon Him today, would you? Call upon Him right now and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, Father, I thank You for the privilege of just speaking to these folks who are listening today in a way I don't normally do. And I pray right now, Father, that You would save somebody for Christ's sake. Amen.